Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ride Along Podcast. It's myself and Andrea Cleary here on episode 214, I think, of the 909 Podcast. I forgot to check that in advance, but I'm saying it now with confidence. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I mean, who's counting? That's the thing. You.
I'm counting. Me.
But
I'm counting.
Yeah. How are you doing, Niall?
I'm good. Yeah. I was nice now. I had a week. And good week away, like last week, with significant things that happened. First of all, went to the Great Escape in Brighton over the weekend. A great new music festival, 500 bands playing over 100 and something different venues over 3 or 4 days. Really, really lovely place to be. And I saw loads of great things, which I've written about on 909.com, which if you want to go and have a look. And we mentioned in our chat coming up. But before that, I went to see Jai Paul.
How it was it?
It happened.
Yes.
It was so good. It was so enjoyable. My God. Like, it wasn't like the most mind-blowing thing ever, but it was just so nice to see him. And it was, do you know what? I think after watching the video stuff from Coachella, and I just felt like it doesn't really translate as well as it did live. And obviously this was a proper venue. It was Outernet in London. It's called Here and Now or something like that. It's a underground... underground, like two stories underground venue that kind of like has this massive production and kind of looks a bit like a bigger tripod, but with a big balcony and everything. Just a beautiful stage, really easy, nice to be there, and a great set. Just like it was a 15.
And did he seem happy to be performing?
So happy.
Oh, that's good.
They all did. Yeah. It was just, and his voice was absolutely phenomenal. Like, it really was. I was just like I was very close actually, because I went on my own in the end, and I was very close to him in terms of like, I wasn't far from the front. So I could see him a lot, and I could really watch him sing and him doing ad libs and stuff. He looked so comfortable and so at ease, and it was so nice. And the backdrop stage visuals and stuff was really, really nice. And I mean, like he played all the bangers, and like, you got BTSTU, Jasmine, Straight Out of Mumbai. He did a cover of, Cars by Gary Numan, which was new.
Oh, wow.
And, it was just like all those great songs. Band were really good. I was like, this is brilliant. And I was so happy to be there. It was such a nice experience.
And, excellent. I'm delighted.
I think I'm always looking for, those moments at shows where you're like the goosebumps, the kind of chills you get. And when he came out, and funny enough, it was actually the second song, I just had this realization.
I love that song.
I was like, my God, so much has gone into this coming, like, and so much has happened for me, never mind him, since he first came out with, the first songs over 10 years ago, probably. And it's just really nice. And I was like, almost got a bit emotional. I was like, oh, I was like, this is really nice. It's just really nice to see this man.
And you were like away for it as well. Like you traveled and
I don't really do that an awful lot because, you know, usually if you go see an artist, they're probably going to come here at some point. But it's less of a given these days. And certainly not with Joy Paul, who I don't know if he ever will come to Ireland to play a gig. But I don't know if he'll ever play gigs ever again after this, but I would be surprised if he didn't, because that was a great set and he could easily do that around the place. Now, obviously, you wouldn't get as big as a reaction as you got by your fans, by who got there by public ballot. And I have to say, the public ballot thing really worked well. It was basically you sign up to whatever night you want to go to, register your interest, and it was random selection. You get offered what you get offered. And if you go, you go. If not, it goes back into the pot. And I think it's a really fair way to do it.
Yeah.
It's certainly more fair than like waiting around on a Friday morning to buy tickets that you might not get.
Yeah, it's funny. Like until I saw that, because I also signed up for the tickets, and until I saw that as a kind of method of, you know, trying to introduce a bit of fairness, like it just didn't occur to me that there was another way of doing it rather than just, you know, the scramble or promoter pre-sales, or, you know, if people get pre-sales on their phone networks or whatever it might be. And it's like, no, this way seems quite fair, actually.
It was really good. And I was just so happy to be there, and a great 15 track set list, and a lovely way to kick off a lovely time away in London and Brighton at the Great Escape and stuff. So really lovely, really lovely. And I had Skinner was playing in at the Great Escape, and then twice, and then in the Windmill in Brixton. So lovely old weekend. I do actually really like visiting London. The last two times I really enjoyed the visit of it all, and especially like the food and stuff like that. And just it is a great playground, an adult playground, which is the Great Escape as well, which is described to me at one point. But and great to see so many. I mean, you inevitably see loads of Irish people at these festivals, but nothing wrong with that when they're actually really sound and you don't mind hanging out with them. So it's lovely. It's a lovely thing. So that was my experience. And you were at a gig as well. Didn't you go to Liberty Hall?
Yeah, I went to see Tim Key. It was a Christmas present for Harry, I believe. So it's always nice to get like something for yourself for someone else's Christmas present. It was great. It was a really, really good show. A lot of poems from his new book, Not He Used Thought as a Wife, I think maybe the one after that, based around the lockdown. He dedicated a poem to Harry and I, which was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So like he was doing like a little bit of like crowd work, and at one point he asked, are there any I offered us up, which I would never normally do at a comedy gig, but he asked like, are there any couples here who were separated by the lockdown, like, and had to live in different places and couldn't see each other. And he asked it like a couple of times and nobody was putting themselves forward. And I could just tell that he needed someone to say yes so that he could like move on with his joke. And I was like, I just put my hand up and I was like, yeah, we were. And then he like asked us a couple of questions. It was fine. He didn't understand what my name was and called, what was it he called me? My friend has me saved in his phone as whatever the name was that he called me. And then read out this poem about a couple being separated by lockdown. So it was really cool. It was great. I'd never seen Tim Key before. I've been like, yeah, exactly. Well, I was just like, I want to help. But I like, if it was any other comedian, if it was a comedian where their thing is like taking the piss out of you or like making you look silly, then I definitely wouldn't have like involved myself in crowd work. But because it's Tim Key, I'm like, no, he's like quite nice. So but yeah, it was lovely. I've been like a massive, massive fan of his for years and never seen him live. And he's one of those comedians where like it's very, very difficult to actually find his shows online. And like his Edinburgh shows, like he's not one that like puts the shows out or puts them on Netflix, or he's a bit like Daniel Kitson in that way where It's like, it's just the show and that's it. But I've loved, like, I have like most of his books and yeah, I've just loved him for years. So it was so nice to see him. And then he was signing books afterwards and we were there with two other friends and they were like, oh, do you want to go like talk to him? And I was like, no, I'm scared. So I didn't. But yeah, it was great. It was a lovely, lovely, lovely night. The venue is odd. I definitely know what you mean now about it. Like there was fire safety announcement beforehand that was like just a bit odd. And yeah, it's a strange space, but it worked really well for comedy. I thought we were in the front row of the upper bit, which inexplicably is like there's quite a high like wall. So you can see the stage, but it's definitely higher than you expect it to be. Like if you wouldn't want to be like a shorter person, I wouldn't say, sitting there. But it's definitely a space that I think could be used more. I don't see much going on.
It is
on
being
there.
Used more, thankfully.
Is it? Yeah.
Well. So
it was really cool. And then I went to a Eurovision party last week as well. So
nice. What do you think of the winner?
I didn't love it. I voted for Norway.
No, I didn't see any of it because I was away. So
Sweden, like the show was good. Obviously, we didn't want Sweden to win because it would match our, or it has matched our record of having the same person win it twice and winning it. Is it seven times, I think? Don't come for me, Eurovision people. But so disappointing. And also we gave them 12 points, which is crazy, as in our jury gave them 12 points. And I'm like, what are you thinking? Which was a shame, but it was great.
What was your business brain?
Sorry?
They just voted with their heart.
I know, but like, if you're really voting with your heart, you would have voted for Norway. Like everyone was into Norway. Like everyone loved it. They were chanting it. Norway won the popular vote. Like there's a whole like electoral college conversation going on around like, should we scrap the juries?
It's all getting a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I'm really into the conversation. I'm like, I haven't in the past like been that into Eurovision. It's only kind of in the past few years that I've really gotten into it, and seeing the like people getting really into like the politics of it, I've been really enjoying. There's actually an episode of Fionnuala Jones' podcast Flop Culture about Ireland's Eurovision flops that I cannot recommend enough if you want to like understand Ireland's relationship with the Eurovision in recent years. But it's also like just one of the funniest episodes of anything I've ever listened to. Her guest, I can't remember his name. I think his name might be Keane. I'm so sorry, I've forgotten it. But absolutely gas cork man, just talking about the Eurovision. So really recommend that that episode of Flop Culture for anyone who wants to like get into that topic. I learned a lot. So.
Right, yeah. I mean, poor Ireland didn't have qualified. But probably... In fairness, song wasn't great.
It wasn't great, right? But I watched it. I didn't see the semifinals or anything. I like to go in like completely fresh on the night. But when it finished, we put it on the TV so that I could watch it. And I thought it was fine. Like, I was like, it's,
I think
not
it's just
great.
The lyrics. It's the lyrics for me. It's like,
I was like, it's not a winner, like... but like there was definitely worse stuff that got through. So I feel like we should be a bit nicer to the Wild Youth lads. Like I feel like
the song was.
No, it was bad.
It just hit a lot of beats, very obvious beats, and I think the obvious thing now is to slightly play with the form a bit, but still have a banger or have a great song.
Yeah.
So yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I mean, one of the entries was a song about Edgar Allan Poe coming back from the dead and haunting a typewriter, and the song was about, and the song that he writes maybe is about how artists don't make enough money from Spotify streams. Like, like there's crazy shit happening on the Eurovision right now. So do in a kind of we're all together or we are one, and you know, I feel like that moment is gone. You know,
it is. We it want feels bangers. Like about 10, 15 years ago, that kind of thing. Maybe. Yeah. But anyway. Anyway, what we are here for on the podcast this week and what we are looking forward to and hoping to get more out of is a chat with the one and only Nilo, who is a man we've been trying to get on this podcast for a long time, and we let it slide probably on album one, All the Leaves Are Falling, came out in 2020. But since then, he's just released a new song called Forest featuring Morgana, his pal, and there's new music on the way. He's playing the Hennessy Hip Hop House at the Body and Soul Festival this June, Solstice weekend. So you can check him out there, the Hennessy Hip Hop House. So all that remains for me to say is if you like what we do here and you want to support us and what we do and the website in general, it's patreon.com/another9. There's loads of playlists and things there. There's a Discord access. Look, we've said it before. If you haven't done it by now, come in. Just come in and have a look.
Come
it's
on
okay.
In.
It's all right. We don't bite. Actually, very lovely space, particularly in the Discord where you can meet. It's not like you just have to talk to me all the time. There's loads of other people there.
Honestly, Niall's nice. Barely there.
I'm barely there. I keep an eye on everything, but I'm barely
you
there.
You do. Yeah.
But yeah, let's have a chat with Nilo.
There's times I feel the pull of all the stars that light the way above us. And I've got many brothers in the earth, they'll never smoke another gram. They'll never feel their mother's love, I shake a caring father's hand. They'll never reach the ocean, gaze upon it broken open. Makes me think of all the art, the Dublin poems left unspoken. And man, I feel my sister's pain, the world is them in twisted chains. All the fucking wrongs, abuse and murder done in Jesus' name. The Holy Father, painted white and gendered male, it's all just karma in the end. No crosses, nails, it's just pretend. And all that's real is truth and light right at the end. I spent the winter to and froing with my friend. And all that's real is truth and light right at the end.
I wanna take you all of my places. Loneliness, they are kind to the paces. Call up your friends, they are kind to the cases. I love a foreign ages. I know you thought that by now you'd be clear. If only you can walk in a year. I know you suffer. I go through phases. I haven't for ages.
Well, we're delighted to have Nilo finally on the podcast. It's been a long time coming, actually, hasn't it? We have talked about this many times before, and nothing has manifested as yet.
Here
till
we
now.
Are.
But how are you, Nilo?
I'm good. How are you? I'm
good.
Surprised all of our electronics are working perfectly here.
Yeah. I'm very impressed. What's going on here? Using a new system for the first time.
Maintaining a healthy skepticism.
That's the way to be at all times.
If C'est la vie de Mai is listening to us, this is not shade. Because we had a lot of Mercury and retrograde issues when we were chatting to her on the podcast last week. So
that's gas.
Yeah, the universe is balancing it.
A good 45 minutes, perhaps, of like troubleshooting.
Oh. Yeah, so, you know, from all of us
beforehand.
So you're bringing excellent energy with you today, Nilo.
He's gone. He's dropped.
It's over.
Nilo, I thought it'd be nice to get you on and see what you're up to. I know you've just released a new tune called Forest. That's the first, presumably many to come, and the first in a while for you, and the first since your first album. More specifically, in the summertime, you have a show at the Hennessy Hip Hop House at Body and Soul Festival coming up. So we thought it'd be a nice time to kind of check in with you and see how things are going. I mean, last time I saw you proper. We were talking about this recently, just when the single came out, was that that gig we did in Derry, which was a live stream gig, and feels like a long time ago when we did that.
That feels like a different world, doesn't it?
It does.
So long ago.
Yeah, maybe like, I mean, was it 3 years ago? It probably was 3 years ago now.
Two and a half, yeah.
Yeah,
like
two
that.
And a half years, Jesus.
Was it in the winter as well? I think it was winter.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was just up in Derry for like a day and a half, that was it. And then it was so strange because like we basically did the live stream in the venue with like four or five different bands or something, and everyone came in and did their piece, and it was great. And but you know, it kind of, without an audience, it just didn't feel right, you know, in that way.
Yeah, like, it feels weird. And like the production on it and everything was unbelievable, and
yeah,
some of the
it was really good.
I think I think honestly the crew I had at that one and the performance that we put on,
you
was
had a big band
at
that one. Yeah,
yeah, we had like 9 or 10 people, and like it was like the best. It was like one of the best things we ever did. And then it's such an anticlimax, and it's like, oh, nobody was there to see it.
Yeah.
Like, we were there, and that's all that matters.
But it was live streamed, and I think we sent you the footage.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But like, how have you been getting on since then? How are things progressing for you? How are you feeling about everything? How have you feeling about music specifically? I saw you, was it last summer as well in IMA? That was the last time I saw you in
life. Yeah. At that Direct Provision gig, we had a nice chat at that. But yeah. Yeah, I've been doing good. I've been up and down. You know yourself, like, with music is tough. Like, real life gets in the way a lot. Like, I have a son. I'm a single dad with a son. So it's like life tends to be very, it tends to easily get in the way of music, you know. And I think the landscape has changed a lot since I kind of last put out music as well. So, but it's nice to start putting it out again. Like,
yeah.
It's not to be sniffed at. Like, I really respect the fuck out of a lot of people that are putting out music, because like the game has changed a lot in the last 3 years. Like, it's really like a lot of music has an even shorter lifespan now than it had back then. And back then it was getting quite short as well. But like now I feel like with social media, it's just like, it's all 20 second, 30 second clips. And it's really hard to go off and like build a project. And I think artists don't get really rewarded for going off and putting that time in to build a project. Like we reward them when they put out good projects. But like in the meantime, kind of what are you supposed to do? Especially in Ireland, it's hard. Like, you know, you know, you get some really good gigs, and then the next year you get less good gigs, and then the money starts drying up.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough, you know.
That is true. I mean, it's a small country, and it is very hard to make a living out of it. And it's always the eternal thing. But you've always been very open and honest with what you do as well. Like, you've been walking dogs and stuff for a long time.
Yeah,
and it's a big like you've always been very pragmatic in terms of sharing like your life with others, so they can see what it can be like to be an artist as well, you know, because you do spend a lot of time in the car with dogs or in the park.
Oh my god, all the time.
So,
all day.
I mean,
that's 17 today.
Yeah. Oh wow.
What?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, I'm going
that.
To Amsterdam tomorrow, so I had to try and get them all done before the end of the week, which is insane.
Sorry to be clear to anyone who doesn't know, you walk them. You're not like bringing them to be.
I'm not like
neutered or something. The dog catcher. Or something.
Imagine that was your job, like just actually bringing dogs to be neutered. That'd be the worst job ever. Just misery 24/7.
They really wouldn't like you after that.
No. I'm the opposite. I'm like the fun guy. I get like every day I call to the door and get greeted like a king, and their owners just get like ignored as they walk out the door. It's absolutely gas.
It's the dream.
I'm lucky enough to still be doing that, you know, and I never kind of stopped doing that. I only stopped for a few months during COVID, and then speaking of devil, here's my cat hopping up on the table. But yeah, I only stopped for a few months when you couldn't. I'll show him to you now. When you couldn't work anymore.
Hello.
This is Wilbur.
He's Hi, Wilbur. Oh, look at him.
Yeah.
He's got a mustache.
I know, he's glassing me. Yeah.
He's like a cartoon. What a cute.
Yeah, he is. He's
if
a Garfield. Recognize him.
I'll introduce him.
Well, hopefully we get all.
We actually
get
all
at
have
least
cats.
Three cats.
So.
Yeah. Do you have one as well now?
You have two, actually, now. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So,
and they don't be annoying you as well when you're here?
They like to come in about 4:30 usually and kind of give out to me and then stand on the keyboard and like, kind of like come on out and do something with me.
Trying to do that now.
And then
mine is sulking because I wouldn't let her out on the balcony while I was out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They love going outside, don't they? Obsessed with it.
Like I let her out, but you have to like really keep an eye on her because she can fully just jump over the thing. And I didn't have the mental capacity to be watching her while I was also planting seeds. So she's
I'm just saying, my guy's an indoor cat, so he's not used to going outside, but I've been letting him out a little bit just under supervision because he's getting old and I think he's getting annoyed just staying in the house all day. So I've been letting him out, but like, I'm just worried he'll get hit by a car. You know?
Oh, it's terrifying.
Give him the full freedom.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And or that she'll catch a bird and she won't know what to do with it.
Oh God, don't start me on the birds. There's a little one here that's caught a little budgie a few months ago.
Right.
I have a little video of it actually. I was just coming out the back garden and I was like, what's she got in her mouth? And I was like, oh no, oh no. And she dropped it and the budgie just stood there and was like, yeah, I'm actually grand. And then he flew off and onto the satellite dish for like about 3 hours in shock. But she catches mice and everything. She's like,
not to say something really sad about it, but are budgies not usually pets? Like, do we have wild
See,
budgies?
Okay, this is why I was worried.
You go on someone's gas. This is why snatch a budgie.
Yeah, like, exactly. Because there's a load of warehouses at the back here, and there's also a load of lawn gardens. And I was like, my first thought was like, she's after getting into somebody's house and somehow catching a budgie and bringing it
and
back to
the grass. And there's a trail of feathers leading to your house.
But what I did also remember is that there's a pet shop not far away. So I was like, maybe you've escaped the pet shop as well.
Oh,
so
no.
I was
like,
either
and
way.
And they escape a lot as well. Yeah. They often escape.
That's probably what happened, to be honest.
And good,
I think it's
good for them. We promote budgies escaping, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's get true. Out of there. Yeah. Get outside.
Into the anyway. Jaws.
Yes, into the jaws of a local cat.
Yeah,
a local
Josie's
podcaster's cat.
She's a fierce little thing. She's also really cute, as they do. But anyway, we wanted to talk to you about some music choices and kind of frame our chat with you around some music that you love at the moment and music that you would count as influences in the last while. Is it fair to say the current favorite one you have is the Medium Build? Is that the one?
He's a weird example of like... you know, I'm not big into like TikTok music and stuff like that or like finding music on TikTok. But I suppose these days it doesn't matter what medium you find it through. But yeah, I was just scrolling through TikTok one night and I came across this guy and I fucking absolutely love him. And I've been obsessed with him ever since. I feel like he just writes. He's on tour with Lewis Capaldi at the moment, but he's not like, I feel like that does him an injustice. No offense to Lewis Capaldi, but like he just writes really honest lyrics. And when it's stripped back to him and a guitar, I don't know. There's something about him that I just love. I don't know. I'm interested to know what you guys think.
Okay, let's play a bit of Medium Build and a song called Never Learn to Dance.
He goes hiding in the balcony. Send me your location. I'll send you a selfie. Babe, this dream I had, it feels like it might ruin me. Everyone's acting like it's so cool. Everyone's saying this is so
that is Medium Bill, song called Never Learn to Dance. So he's from Anchorage in Alaska. So he's not like a local Scottish guy, obviously by the voice you can tell that. But like, yeah, interesting pair up perhaps for a Lewis Capaldi. Not exactly the most obvious fit, as you'd expect.
I think his lyrics are really honest.
When I was listening to the playlist, I think this is the last song on the playlist. And my Spotify does that thing where once you finish listening to a playlist, it plays you something that you like. And this came on and I was like, oh, this must be one of my songs now, because it's just so something that I would listen to. It reminds me of a guy who you might know, and if you don't know, you'll definitely like, called Slaughter Beach Dog, and he had an album called At the Moon Base. And I kind of initially thought it was him, and then I realized it wasn't, and I was like, yes, I've got a new artist to listen to. This is great.
Yeah.
So thank you for
suggesting.
Yeah,
I know Slaughter Beach Dog as well.
He's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, it's definitely very Andrea Cleary, this, for sure.
Big me vibe.
What does that mean? Does that mean you like it or you don't?
No, I mean, that doesn't mean I actually do like, I think the lyrics are the thing that stood out to me as well, especially. I like the vibe, but certainly it's completely within Andrea's wheelhouse for sure.
It's my wheelhouse. We're in my house now.
I was just going to say, this could be like a Julia Jacklin song or something, you know? And I love Julia Jacklin as well.
I love Julia Jacklin as well. She's amazing.
So. Yeah. That's the vibe.
But yeah, tell us about why you love this song. You mentioned the lyrics.
I think when he just says there has to be better shit to give a shit about other than wondering what people think about us now, like that just hits fucking everybody, you know, really hits me. And it's like, it's very simple and it's very direct. And I think that's the way I write as well. So it's like, it really kind of hits me. I don't really write songs in riddles so much. I know people love like cryptic lyrics more so. A lot of people do. And, you know, I know the idea that if you make people work for an understanding of a song, that they love it more sometimes. But like, I've tried that and I'm not very good at it. And I'm not very good at listening to music that's like that. I need to like really directly connect with the lyrics. And yeah, that's what that does for me.
I think there can be a balance with that kind of cryptic lyric thing. I think
It can be overly done for sure.
Yeah, like I think Taylor Swift nearly strikes the balance for me. She loves a cryptic lyric, but then now and then like that song Anti-Hero, like just it'll be all this like cryptic stuff, and then she just has a line like it must be exhausting always rooting for the anti-hero, and I'm like, there it is, there's the cut through, there's the direct thing. It can be so revealing and
that's
rewarding.
One thing like, that does work when there is like pretty poetic cryptic lyrics and then there's a real cut through line that does work really well. Actually, it does kind of make that stand out a lot. I wouldn't say Taylor Swift's a good lyricist though. That's a controversial opinion there.
Wow.
I feel like she used to be
better
10 years ago.
I love her, but
I
have my issues with her. Like, it's
okay. I get you.
It's a very complicated relationship between me and Taylor.
I think she was better when she was like teenager, early 20s, more so than now. Like, I listened all the way through to the last album. I was like, I think some of these lyrics are horrendous. Sorry.
No, please.
I too think some of her lyrics are horrendous. I do. But I will defend her right to make horrendous lyrics, I suppose.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm defending this almost billionaire, but that's my curse.
fair. That's fair.
The news about going out with Maddie Healy now is
don't start me. The topic.
Anyway,
move on.
Enough of that. Okay,
I just found out they were going out just when you said it. Just
there you go. Yeah, apparently they're going out.
I'll send you a lengthy email explaining everything.
Okay.
See, this is the problem, though. Why does there always have to be an explanation? Like, they're just going out, no? Oh, God. This is like horoscopes, except for horoscopes is just Taylor Swift Easter eggs. That's it.
Yeah.
I have many questions related to this, but I won't ask any of them because I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Okay, well, if you do want to ask Nilo more questions, we'll do a special Patreon-only special. Nilo's thoughts on Taylor Swift.
I have to get more educated.
Going from medium build to Taylor Swift to another favorite on this podcast, Sufjan Stevens, a song from Carrie and Lowell from 2015 called The Only Thing. Let's play a bit of this.
Signs and wonders, Perseus aligned with a skull, slain Medusa, Pegasus alight from us all. Do I care if I survive this? Bury the dead where they're found, in a veil of great surprises. I wonder, did you love me at all? The only thing that keeps me from cutting my arm, cross edge, warm bath, holiday in after dark. Signs and wonders, water stain riding the message, blood of the moon on us all. Do I care if I despise this? Nothing else matters, I know. In a veil of great disguises, how do I live with you?
Okay, that's Sufjan Stevens, The Only Thing. A very sad song from Carrie and Lowell, which is a very pensive and sad album, actually, really, isn't it? It's a lot. There's a lot going on there. Did we ever review that? No, we weren't probably doing it then, were we?
No, I've definitely talked about it.
Yeah, 2015. Yeah.
In this, I think we did a Sufjan episode at some stage, but again, in my wheelhouse. But yeah, yeah, tell us about this choice and why you did this to me on a Wednesday.
And during, when I was listening to that there, I just realized the hypocritical nature of my personality, where I just said, oh, I like really direct lyrics. And then
immediately after picked the song.
like the most cryptic lyrics you could have possibly had on the song.
Well, yeah. There's
some pretty direct lines.
There are, for sure.
You know,
I just think he's magic. I think that album is magic. I don't know. There's just something about him. Like that song just speaks to me in so many ways. It's like, you know, even like essentially he's talking about like the only reason he lives is because of like these mystical experiences that he has, or maybe like moments of awe that he has in his life, and I think. That's just a beautiful concept to me, that like there's always something to live for, you know, like no matter how much you think that, you know, you should leave the world, it's like, you know, you could always be in a sea lion cave like at some point in your life, you know. I think that's a lovely, on a Monday morning when you're gone somewhere that you don't want to go and you're feeling really bad, I think that's a beautiful thing to remember, and that's really the nature of what art is, you know, to remind us of that.
Yeah, it's nice and transportive as well in a nice way.
Yeah.
And the sound of it, it's such a pleasantly produced song. It's really delicate, and it has that kind of far away, ghostly sort of, not yes. whatever the opposite of a sheen is, you know, sort of like a, like a blur on it or something.
It's very liminal, isn't it? Like it's
it's like it's from the past, like it's found audio or something.
So beautiful. Like dreamy at the same time.
It's so beautiful. He's
have you guys
like,
ever seen him play?
In the Olympia on the Age of Ad show, so that was a lot different to this, you know, big spectacle. The wings and all, so very different. But I think it's probably like I prefer this version than I prefer the Age of Ads version of Sufjan. He's always excelled at those really small, quiet, intimate songs that are pretty devastating and also speak to his own life, but also everyone else's as well. I mean, even when he was doing, he has so many lyrics like that that just speak to people. I think as well, I think I've seen Glasshouse Ensemble do the Sufjan show. We had them.
I went to that.
Times.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
the first time I ever met you, Niall.
Was it?
Yeah. I went with my ex at the time, and she never really listened to Sufjan Stevens or anything, and I just kind of pretty much made her go with me, and it was like, it was all, they played most of like Illinois, is that the name of that album? And Michael from Spies was the singer,
that's right.
Were fucking unbelievable. And actually since that, I didn't know him at the time, and since that I've become very good friends with him through Morgana and stuff, and I always remind him, I'm like, bro, I was there, and I was like crying.
They were a lovely gig. So we did it. It was in the Douglas Hyde Gallery, which was the reason we did that was because the first time Sufjan ever played in Dublin, he played there. There was a time where a couple of artists played that kind of space. I think Cat Power also played there, and I just thought it was a nice idea to do something to throw back to that. And even the label, like Asthmatic Kitty, were very supportive as well. They were just like, just don't use any photos of Sufjan that suggest that he's going to be there or anything. So
okay,
right. As long as you don't do that. And yeah, so it was a lovely thing. And
it was beautiful. Yeah. Good memory.
I think he had an album out last week, even with a bunch of other people, didn't he?
He had something recently. Yeah, he's just kind of annoyingly prolific. Like he's always
it is a bit annoying. Yeah,
you can't keep up with it. Like, because I usually love artists who like go away, take their two or three years, and then come back with their album. But with Sufjan, like I love him so much, I have to listen to everything he puts out, and it's quite time consuming. So I haven't gotten around to whatever it was that he released most recently.
Oh yeah, I remembered now. So the album that he released actually ties in with Carrie and Lowell, doesn't it? Because wasn't it released with, it's called, is it actually even out yet? Hold on a second.
Is he put out something that was like a duet with his dad.
That's right, yeah.
So like an electronic music sort of thing, sort of ambient thing that was really good. But maybe yeah, is a year, that, 2 years that's related. Ago. But...
That's right, yeah. So, obviously there's a complete connection here. So Lowell is his mother's second husband, obviously, is part of a big part of this story in this this record as well. But yeah, is also part head of the record label, Asthmatic Kitty, as well. So a real so Sufjan's stepdad, essentially. So I think they did do something recently together, didn't they? Yeah,
they did like a kind of an ambient thing.
Lowell. I mean, it's just always at stuff, as we say.
Always at it. Always and not necessarily it. Stuff's not necessarily always hitting, but it's he's keeps putting it out anyway, which is great.
Yeah, there's like
I mean, it must be hard.
There's like a different like sort of strands of Sufjan fans. There's the people who like kind of just love the acoustic guitar stuff or the Illinois stuff.
That's me.
There's people who like absolutely love the like the Age of Ads, the more experimental stuff, and then there's people who will just listen and defend like absolutely everything that he puts out.
Right, okay,
I think I'm definitely in the first camp, but I will also like I've never heard him put out something that I've thought is bad. More that I just sort of wish he was doing the stuff that I want them to do, which is incredibly selfish and ridiculous. It's the nature of parasocial relationships
with
musicians.
He must suffer.
Get back to being sad, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack that he did was so beautiful.
Oh my God. And
it felt like the return of him to like an era of his music. And I was like, yes, he's back.
Yeah, it really did, great. Didn't it? And those songs just really stay with you, especially with that film. It's like, wow.
I've only watched that film once, but I've been to give it another go.
Oh, it's like...
I don't know if I could do it to myself.
My comfort film. I'm always watching
really?
It. Really? Yeah, I feel like I'm on holidays when I'm watching it. Like,
oh, yeah, it's so beautiful. It really is, yeah.
Somewhere in the north of Italy, just hanging out.
So nice.
Although maybe the Army Hammer hasn't
been cancelled yet. Everything's fine.
That's true. Yeah.
He's got his whole career ahead of him.
God, he's great, guys.
Simpler times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like two of my top three favorite films ever are Call Me By Your Name and The Social Network, both of which feature Armie Hammer quite prominently. And he's in The Social Network twice, like as twins. So it's very difficult.
Yeah, so spare
a thought for the Armie Hammer girlies, like during the past few years. It's been tough out here.
Yeah. Okay, your next choice is by Navy Blue. Now, I know this name from association with Wiki, I believe, mostly. Mm-hmm. Let's play a bit of one of the songs you picked to give praise from Navy Blue, and then we'll chat about it.
Thunder. I'm not Russell nor KD. Okay, scene. My mother told me speak my peace, but she ain't say bleed. This ain't me, out to save me. Sage you, it takes bravery. I seen a spirit close the door, no pulling baby teeth. Amazing.
It's amazing.
My heart racing, trying to savor things that never last. If you got them both, you better check your mom and dad. Tell them that you love them, some will kill for what we have. Say a prayer for my cousin, send a healer on his path. Thoughts of Michael, miss him later, can't be anchored in the past. Watch the smoke dance in the air, wouldn't dare to make it last. Fall asleep beneath the shrine as time passes. Trust the light is just sublime, is what I am, cause I can't be anchored in the past. Left me scarred to the touch in the car with my dad, yeah. All the stars above us, only love is what we have.
So yeah, Nilo, tell us about Navy Blue and your experience with him.
Yeah, so I found out about this guy through Genova. I think around 2020, he was over my gaff and he was like, have you heard of this guy? And we were on my balcony, like smoking a spliff during COVID, looking out on the sunset. And we were just like, yeah, this is nice. I started listening to him and he's just unbelievable. He's like the most talented. He makes beats. He raps. He's a model. He's a painter. He's a professional skateboarder. He's like multiple different things.
I've read about this guy. Yeah,
it's crazy. And he kind of came up through the Wolfgang crew, like Earl Sweatshirt and people like that. And he was kind of just a young kid that was hanging around with them, and then just turned into this kind of like amazing artist who I don't know, he just speaks to me on so many levels. Like the experimental beats or something, the lack of drums on a lot of his tracks definitely influenced like my new record. And I felt when I started taking drums away from some of my songs, I felt a lot more free to like tell stories as well. A lot of the time I felt like drums in my songs were a bit of a cage that I had to stick to, you know, whereas it felt easy to get emotions out when the drums were taken away for some reason. So that's kind of why I picked Navy Blue, but he's also just been a really big influence on me over the last 2 years. It's nice to find an artist like later in life that you're that into, you know. Usually a lot of the artists you find are in your 20s and you kind of stick with them forever, but like this guy is one of my top three artists of all time. And I went to see him in the Academy Green Room, which is not the best venue in the world. Or no, not the Green Room. Academy 2, even worse.
Academy 2, yeah.
The bottom one, bottom floor. And he was amazing. He did a concert. It was like a really unique concert in a way that he demanded respect from the crowd. Like he wouldn't let people talk. He did these like meditations halfway through that I know what Irish people are like. Halfway through the meditation, some guy's like, any hash? And he's like, you just lost two songs out of the set, like for doing that, whatever.
Good. So
it was like being in class. And it was like, it's not the way I would operate at all. I'm very informal when I play, but like, it was nice to see someone demand respect for their art, you know, like, so that was really cool. Yeah, he's just been a huge influence on me. His music is amazing.
And what has he got out, like what in terms of albums? Oh my God. Because this is the only
he's like
thing
Sufjan
I've
Stevens.
Heard. He's one of them.
Like two albums a year.
Okay,
and
right. So there's loads
produces
to dive
for
into.
Loads. Yeah, I think he produced a whole Wiki album as well.
That's right.
Okay.
He's dropped three albums in the last 2 years, I think, and they're long albums, and their quality is really up there as well, so, which is crazy. I don't know how he does it. So Songs of Sage is the one that I like the best. And then there's the one before, I can't remember the names. I'm not good with names and stuff, but yeah, check them all out.
This is like Niall's relationship with Salt, and that every time they're releasing, you know, you're like, oh, they've released eight albums today.
Yeah, I get triggered because they put out, there was a message on Bandcamp during the week. It was like, from Salt. I was like, no, not another one. I'm only getting through the other ones still. I need a break.
I know, it's hard, isn't it, sometimes?
Sure, look, I mean, it's hard to catch up
it's
with
a life
all
of
the
abundance.
Albums that have been released, but yeah, it is absolutely. But speaking of, have you been to many gigs recently? Have you got a chance to be out and feel inspired by any music?
Yeah, I actually went to Post Malone and Tree Arena last week, and it was fucking unbelievable. One of the best gigs I've ever seen.
Was
like,
it?
And I've seen him a bunch of times, and I'd be a big Post Malone fan. I just think he's a really lovely guy, a really good songwriter, really good pop songwriter. And he just seems like he's literally there on his own, and he smashed the Tree Arena. Like, it was two nights, pretty much sold out.
Say I've ever like delved in. He strikes me as a nice guy, and that's like
such
my
nice
only
guy.
Opinion on him. I'm like, he seems like he would be fun to hang out with.
Speaking of TikTok, I thought there was some worry about him recently, but it turns out he's like, I just became a dad, that's all.
He started performing different. Like, he started like looking like he's on E and dancing real weird in his gigs. And I think people just got worried about him because he lost loads of weight at the same time. It was like a coincidence, you know? But actually, from seeing the clips, I was like, this guy looks like he's on fucking Oxy or like Adderall or whatever the hell. But then from seeing him live, I was like, nah, he's just like feeling himself and trying things a new way, you know?
Yeah.
It was hard for it. It's hard for someone that can't dance to go out there and just fucking go for it. And I love that.
On your own as well.
Yeah, on your own. No band, nothing. It's crazy. Yeah.
So he just has a backing track, and I've never seen anybody do that at Tree Arena. That's
not even a DJ, just a backing track, and that's it. Yeah.
Wow, fair play.
And he did have Race Rumored were supporting him, and Sway Lee came out and did that Sunflare song, you know, the song from the Spider-Man soundtrack, which is
I like that song.
My son Jakey's favorite song as well. That was real nice to see. Yeah,
that's a great song.
It's a brilliant song. It was like the biggest song in the world at one stage as well. Like, that was really nice to see, because it was like, you're never going to see the two of them do that in Dublin, you know. They're never going to be on tour together like that again, so it was real special, kind of.
Great. Lovely. Okay, your next choice is actually something completely different. So let's play it. This is a track by an artist called Tyler Childers. Okay. And this is a song called Feathered Indians.
Mm-hmm. For Andrea.
On the inside of her thigh, there are little feathered Indians where we tussle through the tonight. If I'd known she was religious, then I wouldn't have came stone to the house of such an angel. Too fucked up to get back home. Looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked, ain't anybody told you that them things are bad for you? I said, many folks have warned me. There's been several people try, but up till now there ain't been nothing that I couldn't leave behind. Hold me close, my dear.
We don't get a lot of country music on this podcast, but when we do, it's usually C-Matt that's picked it. So yeah. Glad that somebody else has done it this time around. So Tyler Childers, 2017, this song is from an album called Purgatory. So what do you know about this fella? And how much do you love country music?
I fucking love country music so much. I probably listen to more country music than I do any other genre. But only really new stuff. Like, I don't really go back to like Willie Nelson or anything like that. Yeah, I did a little bit of Garth Brooks or whatever, but only because my dad used to play it when I was young. But mostly newer country artists, you know. Yeah, I love this guy. I think I just found him on Spotify one day, or someone must have shared him or something. But that song I actually have tattooed on my fucking stomach as well. Just
which line?
I just love the so the line is looking over West Virginia, smoking spirits on the roof. She asked, ain't anybody tell you that those things are bad for you? I said, many folks have warned me. I've seen several people try, but up to now, there ain't been nothing that I couldn't leave behind. I just think that's a fucking savage line. Something like giving up the smokes. Speaks to me. Smoking fucking Camel Blues all day.
Yeah, so I know you put up a post recently saying you'd given up alcohol. Yeah, how are you finding the buzz now?
Same.
You had some learnings from a year off, was it?
Yes, I'm about 8 months now, so I think I must have posted when I was 6 months off. Are you off as well, Andre?
Yeah, since last July.
Nice. Yeah, it's so good.
Around about the same time.
I'm smoking more cigarettes now, so that's...
I'm vaping a lot.
See, you need your voices. That's the problem. You got to pick your voices. Alcohol for me was just I think I did 7 festivals last year and I partied really hard at every single one of them, you know? And after Electric Picnic, I woke up in the car park at fucking afternoon on the Monday, which was rough as fuck. In my car, just wow, I feel empty. And I think I drank one more time since that, maybe in September. And I just feel I don't like to get too preachy about it. That's why when I posted that thing, I was posting the good things and the bad things, you know? It can be quite boring. You don't have as much of a social life, but you're trading off your weekends for your midweek, I think, in a lot of ways. And I just find myself to be just generally all around crying a lot less, way less anxious, anxiety pretty much gone. And just way more productive as well. There's definitely not a coincidence that I'm releasing music again, having quit, 6 months ago or whatever. So yeah, it's been really good. I'm not saying I will be off it forever, but for the time being, it's serving me anyway.
Yeah. I'm a similar thing. It was I can keep going out, and by no means was I going out every weekend or anything, but I can keep kind of continuing like this and just scheduling an anxiety attack for Saturday morning or Sunday morning. And that's the way I had to start thinking about it. It was do I want to just put this in my calendar that I'm going to need a few hours to have a panic attack on Sunday, or will I just have a few Fantas and go home a bit earlier? And been lovely. It's been really nice. And I've I think 0 panic attacks, maybe 1 since. But it's but you're also you feel really boring, yeah, which is the other thing.
There's pros and cons, you know, definitely.
It's the it's that smug feeling waking up on a Sunday morning and being like, I'm going to go for a walk. And you're like, oh, yeah.
And just getting up every day earlier, way earlier every day. Yeah. For my whole life, I battled with getting up early in the morning. Like, I was in my teens, I was a nightmare. In my early 20s, I would sleep till fucking 3 p.m. sometimes. And now, I haven't slept past like 10 or 11 a.m. since probably I quit, you know?
It's crazy. Yeah. It's a real kind of leveler. And I was reading somewhere recently. I can't remember if it was a paper I was reading or if it was an article, like in The Guardian or something, but it was something about musicians who don't drink or have quit drinking like a little bit, like, quote unquote, later in life, like their late 30s or their 40s, and how it affects their art and their ability to create, and that there is this sort of idea of an artistic person, whether you're a writer or a musician or a poet, whatever you are, you know, that all of that stuff stems from pain in some way. And if you don't feed that pain through getting yourself into silly situations or getting drunk or whatever it might be, then you're not going to have any well to draw from. But I think like as you get older, it's just so much harder to like tap into any kind of emotion when you've got a hangover. It can be just so difficult to just think, let alone anything else.
It's strange because it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like I had this sweet spot, and this is one of the reasons that I don't like giving up, but I had a sweet spot where I was writing some of my best songs viciously hungover, and I don't know what it was, but it was like, it was almost like the inhibitions had gone, but I wasn't drunk anymore, so I could like channel everything through. And I think there's definitely a melancholy to alcohol as well, where you do, you know, that walking home feeling on your own where you're like fucking wistful and like nostalgic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? It can be so poetic and like, romantic. Oh, it can be
so poetic, I do miss that side of it, but it's not worth the trade-offs for me anymore of just like the anxiety and the sadness that comes with it, you know?
Yeah, you would hope there's other ways of accessing those kind of brain spaces or parts of you that, you know, don't require the route one of alcohol to get there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if it's problematic for you, or you feels like you're, you know, it has a lasting effect, it's definitely the right thing to cut down. Yeah,
definitely.
Has it come up for you in your lyrics at all when you've been writing? Has the topic kind of ended?
Of sobriety?
Yeah. Is it something that you're like looking at through your lyrics, or is it just something that's kind of helping it otherwise?
Not really. I haven't really written about it so far. I haven't written a lot of songs in the last, like since I've quit. I don't think I've been actually writing a lot, but nothing that's really been hitting me so much. Like I've a lot of songs on my phone, but nothing that's as good as the album that I'm about to release or whatever. So there's a lot to be said for the pain of it as well. But like Nora was saying as well, I'm hoping there's other ways to channel that. I mean, on nights out, I like to take mushrooms. I like to take a real small dose of mushrooms, and that really serves me well. And it doesn't make me feel bad at all the next day, which is great.
That's the thing. I think if you don't drink as well, you just get more tired before everyone else. And that's like, if you can counteract that, then that's a nice thing, because like the buzz of staying out is great, you know, but if it's having the wrong effect on you the next day, then sure,
exactly,
absolutely.
My rule is like, I'll stay out if there's dancing, and I'll go home as soon as somebody repeats something to me, as soon as someone thinks they're telling me something for the first time, but it's actually the second time. That's my cue to go home. But if there's dancing or karaoke or any kind of like activity, I'm there. I'm getting involved.
Karaoke's a good one. Yeah. I'll stay out if there's good conversations going with people that I really like. Like if people I really like, no matter how drunk they are, I'll stay out. But like if I start to get that inkling of will I go home, should I go home, I usually just head off.
Yeah.
And the same even when I'm drinking, it's the same. Yeah.
Nothing good happens.
Yeah, no one's call it is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Especially the older you get. Like, I'm at the age now where I just start waking up at the same time nearly every day. Yeah. Unless you push all the way through. Do you know what I mean? Unless you push to like 4 or 5 a.m., then you won't wake up at 8 a.m.
No,
but
no, you've passed the threshold there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
But no, it does have a knock-on effect on you for sure. But
One thing I didn't have at most times was like knowing when to call it. Like I wasn't a person that would drink at home, or I wouldn't drink like often, but like if there was a party going, you'd find me there somewhere, you know, like I'd go till fucking two the next day, no bother.
I've never been able to do that.
For me, it's like the every night that I would be with my friends and drinking was like the last night on earth. And
yes, yeah
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, no, I can't leave. I have to stay.
No, can't
and this
leave.
Has to
How
be
could you
the
possibly?
Big. Yeah, this is like this. You know, we're all here, guys. We're in the pub. You know, yeah. This will never happen again.
This is it. This is it.
It's kind of it's learning that like no, you'll see them again. Go home.
Yeah, like, life goes on. Yeah. You totally hit on something there. For me, it was like the exact same thing. It's like this is literally the last night on earth.
Yeah,
and like tomorrow does not exist, and I cannot let go. I simply cannot let go tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll let everyone so down good. If I leave because it'll yeah, change the yeah, vibe. Yeah. And it's like, no, it won't. No one will realize you're gone.
You are their world.
Yeah. It's the CMAT song, Every Bottle is My Boyfriend.
All right.
But yeah,
lovely.
No, that's good.
Let's take a next song from 2020, from a more recent release, from Ka. This is called I Love.
I love you. Since birth, when hurt or sick, only person I seek. Could write a play about strength on how you work in the week. Wanted to give you the world, I saw you here struggling. All praise to the Father, I had you here mothering. Sorry for the times I was belling in my teens. But you know I had felon in my genes. Was bad man in bad lands chasing desire. From viewing what you went through, I learned grace under fire. Saying you're proud of me, sweetest words ever. Pure soul, I know, moms, you deserve better. Whatever ailments you nurse me, back to health. Defend me even when the enemies infect myself. Show me love when all I seen was hate. Said I was special to impress you, wanted to be seen as great. It's my kiss, thank you for the unconditional. And though I may not see you as much, I'm always missing you. Sacrifice was a fact of life. You, I love. I love. Held me down when I needed it most. Whether shoulder to cry on or I needed the toast. And would never let me go it alone. Everybody called it the slum, but we know it is home. From where we from, we supposed to be dug. We both shared a different dream, we was closer than blood. Learned from you how to pour my heart in a song. Way ahead of your time, it was just hard to get on. Ain't gonna lie, just wanted to buy houses for the fam. Move them out the hood, give them thousands and some land. Them nice sessions of eternal life lessons that I still use today when I'm uptight stressing. Always said we was veteran survivors, and even though you pass, you'll forever be the livest. Was an honor to see you.
So Ka, I'm not sure, I don't know much about this artist, so maybe you can fill us in a bit more.
Yeah, so Ka is another artist from New York, like kind of like the father of Navy Blue, and like again very into that like drumless experimental like loop and sample kind of style. He's actually the head of a fire department in New York, which is crazy.
Oh yeah, right.
And yeah, he's just amazing. I just love the song because he breaks down love into three different things. Like one of them is the love for his mom, one of them is the love for his like wife, and then another one is his friend that died. And it's just like the different types of love. His wordplay is just crazy. He's just an amazing storyteller. A really accomplished artist, but someone who's not like, you know, successful, we'll say like financially from it. He's more of like a, you know, like the equivalent of a journeyman rapper, but like top of his trade, you know what I mean? Like a tradesperson of rap. Yeah, I think he's amazing.
And I also, sure. I think that fire people in America are, I don't know what the gender neutral.
It sounds
term
weird when you say it that way.
Fire people.
It's like
fire officers.
It just reminds me of that Bowie song, "Cat People Putting Out
Cat
Fires."
Cat people.
You know?
Yes. Like, but I think I think they're all also like volunteers. So the day job and the evening job both being, you know, precarious.
Yeah.
Positions.
Yeah.
I definitely love it. There's a lot of faith in that.
Yeah, 100%.
That these are his things he wants to do. You know.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's just like, it seems like a nice way to live life. And actually, I can't remember what newspaper, it was one of the big New York newspapers. It wasn't the NY Times, but it was like another tabloid they tried to come for him at some point, saying that he was like, you know, here's this guy that's like head of a fire department, but he's encouraging violence, you know, in his music as well. At the same
that
time,
that sounds like a New York Post kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was New York Post. Yeah, I must send you the tabloid like the headline. It was the front page of the paper as well. It's crazy.
Oh God. Yeah. Promoting violence through rap music. And then you listen to that poetry. Song and you're like, really?
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Not good. All right. That was Ka. Nice stuff. You kind of got a very eclectic taste here, which is no surprise really based off listening to your work. But like, have you found yourself moving or listening to anything more in particular the last while, or do you have an album on the way, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I have an album. I don't have a date really yet. Well, we have a date, but I haven't just announced it yet. So, I've just been like in and out of it with music over the last couple of years. Like I love writing music, but I don't really love the music industry so much. It's really tough. I find it really tough to put stuff out there and like be vulnerable, and then insecurities about like the numbers that it's doing compared to like old numbers, and like it can be very, very hard, you know. I'm sure you guys get it with like being writers and stuff as well. It's like, fuck, my cat's holding onto the interface here. it's just hard. Like it seems like the infrastructure in Ireland is sometimes missing in terms of like for artists, like in terms of funding and even in terms of gigging as well, like you were saying earlier, like there's not that many gigs you can get, and you can't play. Like I did a lot of festivals last year, which means I don't get a lot this year. And then it's like, well, what do I do? Just wait till next year.
This is the problem with like the fact that, you know, streaming and revenue that you can create from non-live is so difficult, and it doesn't mean anything really. And it has very little effect on you being able to. If you were purely just to put it back into your career, then you're in a position where you can't really do much with that money because the money isn't enough. So you have to rely on live gigs. So it definitely is that kind of thing that's worrying. That I think for anyone who's in some kind of craft, it is quite a difficult thing to keep up and to keep the hunger and the desire to do it is one thing. And then when you get to a successful place, it's like, well, you're kind of getting pushed on to do even bigger and bigger. I love what Andrea Horn says of Tropical Popical says about her business. If you think of it like, you know, your career or your business, she's like, I never wanted to open more than one Tropical Popical because like I'm really happy with the level, my life and the level of income I have, and then people are always pushing me to franchise and do things, and like, but no, I just want to be comfortable and happy. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's most musicians who are, you know, people like yourself who are well known or can get decent slots and set up gigs, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to aspire to that, a kind of a living wage. I mean, I guess that's partly why the basic income scheme was brought in here, which is, you know, is a really positive thing because
it's a brilliant thing.
An acknowledgement that artists are working on their craft, and that craft is work as well, and it's worth something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're saying, like that's actually worth something. And the unfortunate thing about the UBI is that it's just not enough money with the way the city has gone. Like it's an amazing gesture, but like that'll just cover someone's rent, really. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is great. But like, what about the rest of the stuff that we need to survive, you know?
I was at a conference yesterday that was looking at kind of arts policies in a post-capitalist landscape, like how can we look at policy in the arts, in funding and what have you, through a kind of a post-capitalist lens. And something that one of the speakers brought up that I thought was really interesting was the idea of paying artists to be lazy, and how that's often something that comes up around the universal basic income. And there was then a discussion around like, well, why can't we do that? Why can't they be, you know, like why can't they have time to think what is lazy? You know, lazy is in the way that we think about it in like a capitalist mindset is just not working. But not working doesn't mean not creating. Not working doesn't mean. And as well, the other thing that came up was the idea that artists should be, you know, we should make decisions to do with funding them based on output and metrics, and how problematic that is as a model for making music. And I think that it's not only things like getting grants and stuff like that, but like you were saying, Nilo, like the idea of looking at what your metrics were for the last project and comparing it, it's this like self analysis that artists have to do, and this constant comparison, and you know, you're battling with algorithms and you're battling to get a space on Spotify playlists and things. And yeah, it was a very, very interesting conversation. We didn't figure out how to end capitalism, but it definitely like it definitely inspired me to think about that critique of like, oh, we're just paying people to be lazy, in a way where I'm like, well, yeah, wouldn't that be the ideal, that we all actually get a bit of rest in our lives?
Like, yeah. And I think what makes and why the universal basic income is so positive for artists is that it does give them a little bit of breathing room to pay some bills in order, maybe even if it's like, okay, I only have to work 2 days this week as opposed to five, and I can be in the studio for two, or I can work on my music admin for one. And like it just frees them up. And like, let's be honest, like people are going to be lazy regardless. Like people are lazy in jobs and they're lazy not in jobs.
That's exactly
they're going to be lazy if they want to be lazy, you know, you can't stop them.
But it's also just taking away that negativity from the word lazy and reframing it as rest and rest in terms of
rest is so important,
you know, just not panicking about paying your bills, not panicking if you didn't get a slot in a festival or whatever it might be. It's taking away the anxiety. And if you think about that in terms of laziness, then it kind of reveals something so problematic about how we actually treat and think about artists rest. In this country.
That's what it is.
Should musicians be allowed to sleep? Like, is that the question we're asking, you know?
Yeah, and and also the unforgiving nature of how quickly things move in music these days. It's like, it doesn't allow artists to go off and like make this brilliant art. You're constantly like being sucked for the next bit of content that you have, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to live that life. That's not how good albums get made, you know? Like, good albums can't just be made by established artists that have the space to do that, you know what I mean? Like, we need to give like new up-and-coming artists like the space to be able to do that. Obviously, that's in an ideal world, you know, it's not.
Yeah, but I mean, even looking at what went on during the pandemic with musicians and the amount of, you know, there was a lot of celebration around the arts during the lockdowns and how important they are, and people were, you know, logging into live streams and it was amazing for all of us who don't work in that industry and for people who do as well to just kind of experience live music in that way. But it's also really revealing that, you know, musicians didn't get a rest during that time either, because it was like, oh, well, now we've an opportunity. Now we can get a bit of people talking about us because we're doing a live stream. Now, you know, other people are doing this kind of event. Maybe I should be doing this kind of event as well. There's no rest for artists. There was a lot of
live stream comparison going on, let me tell you that.
100%. Like, absolutely. And then the people who weren't doing live streams are being asked, well, why don't you just do a live stream? And it's like, there's a pandemic. It's not that easy. You know,
I knew people that spent 30 fucking grand on a live stream. You know what I mean? On one stream.
Yeah.
Like, crazy money going around, you know? Yeah. And now nobody cares about live streams, really. You know, it's just a memory. Yeah. No.
It's very revealing.
No, there were some good ones for sure.
There were. Yeah, there definitely were.
Like, the voices are still doing a lot of them, and theirs are, you know, really well produced. It was one on.
Theirs were really the cut above everybody else's. It was really good. And like, actually,
I distinctly remember that watching like Denise's one as well.
The Courage series is crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. I did one with them as well. I did Other Voices when it was all live streamed in 2020. And that was honestly the single best thing I probably ever did for my career. It was like, was the one thing where I noticed like, oh, my trajectory has just changed now, because a couple of thousand people as opposed to maybe a couple of hundred in a room were watching it, you know what I mean? And tuned yeah. in properly, like, yeah.
Yeah, they were a very strange time. And I think like the gratitude that we all collectively had towards musicians and other artists as well during COVID, there was maybe an optimism that I was skeptical of during that time that would that it would translate into more support. And there has been, you know, teeny tiny little steps that we have to acknowledge, but into more support for the arts. But, you know, it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it is just as hard, if not more difficult now, with venue closures and algorithms and all of it, literally all of it, make music and put out music, whether you're established or not. You know, it's crazy.
Really difficult. I find actually funding for me is the hardest thing. I think to actually fund my album has been the most difficult thing. I had like a lot of conversations with labels in the UK, like after my first album, like whether it was distributors or labels in the UK, and they would go on for months and they would show a lot of interest and they would sometimes offer like a decent sum of money, and then after a while would start to go cold, you know, in a month or two when the music industry changed inevitably again. And that was really frustrating for me. I was like, fuck, because you're given this thing and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get 20 grand here to like fund my album, brilliant, that pays for like 2/3 of it, we'll say, you know, in terms of marketing and PR and all that shit. But and then it's just taken away and you're like, oh, now I have zero.
what are the new metrics that people are looking at? Like, is it views on
TikTok? I think
it's
I think it seems to be TikTok. Yeah, I think it's always going to be gigs, like how many people you can pull to a gig is always going to be the biggest metric, I would say. But like, I would say TikTok, if you're not popping on TikTok, most places won't invest in you.
Right.
I don't think, which is mad, but it's just the way it is. So get that astrology TikTok going. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. I mean, it was nice. I was at the Great Escape last week in Brighton, my first time at a new music festival for a while. And that's its own ecosystem as well. I mean, I'm sure people are considering TikTok stuff for maybe like singer-songwriters and things like that. But like, there is a lot to be said for like an artist that, especially at the moment in terms of like Brexit and cost of living stuff and all that, but being able to bring a band from Ireland, say for example, to the UK is, you know, there are questions, but bringing an Irish band to EU is easier than bringing a UK band. So a lot of the UK industry is like really interested in Irish bands and Irish acts, so that's really interesting always.
That's cool.
The moment, yeah. So I mean, but it comes down to, is your live show good? Because no one's ever going to sign a band or work with a band if they can't see that can be developed or worked on if it's at a lower ebb. So yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. It is, the TikTok thing is kind of scary because it is, you know, what's the next thing? You know, what's the next thing?
Yeah,
that's what's scary about it. You could spend 2 years really cracking that, and then all of a sudden it would be something else.
Like people did with Spotify. Like I'm sure there's plenty of artists who finally cracked Spotify and their label are like, oh, well, that's all well and good, but what about the TikTok views? And it's like, well, what do you need from me? I wrote a song. Like, that's what my job is.
It's the best song ever.
It's literally the best song you've ever heard in your life. And you're talking to me about a clock app. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is outrageous. It's a really scary time and like Niall and I have been obsessed with talking about AI on the podcast recently, so I won't bring it up too much again, but like that is also an area of change in the industry that we're certainly watching very closely with like our peeking it's through great. Our hands like
the more that stuff goes down the line with metrics and impressions and numbers and AI, the more that people will want to kick back against
we'll resist
it, and there will be a whole other strand of people who are just like, no, I only listen to music by humans.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff anyway. So
yeah, you're dead right.
Hopefully
no,
it'll happen.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to your next track by No Name. Haven't heard No Name in a while. Yes. This is good to hear. This is Bye Bye Baby.
Before you leave, don't look down. God will help you spread your wings. Need some milk and honey. My baby needs some milk, honey. Ask me why now she said goodbye. While baby dining white walls, cigarettes over skyfall, riding this life, this my song. Don't ask me why she hesitated, almost waited, waiting room. Played it up in heaven soon. Soon I will see the king, and he reminds me. Some get presents before they even ready. I can see that she loves me, I know her heart is heavy. Telephonication nation, baby, help me testify. Ooh, you know I hate goodbye, bye bye blue. Somebody let the yellow in, bye bye blue. I'm gonna fall in love again on a lonely road where happiness needs us. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. You my baby, you my baby. I'm your baby, I'm your baby. On a lonely road where happiness needs us. I'm gonna fall in love again on a lonely road where happiness needs us.
Yeah, that's No Name from 2016 from Telephone. And I believe there's going to be some new No Name music soon, believe.
Always believe.
It seems like it. I look at her Instagram there. It's all cleared out and there's only one post on it. And she's playing in 3 weeks and she said she's playing new music. So that's something
she's playing
nice.
Here?
No, it's some festival in the US. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got excited there. Shows. I love her.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? She said she's going to play this. I think it's an all black festival, black arts festival. So.
Yeah, because she stopped playing gigs because all the audience was white and she didn't like it. So
yeah.
I think she was just sick of playing to white people. I mean, that's her prerogative to say.
Yeah, for sure.
I love her. I think she's unbelievable. The reason I put her on the list is she was just a big influence on my earlier hip hop stuff. And like, I don't know, I just love the way she writes. It's like really kind of like stream of consciousness, really friendly, beautiful. Like the sound, it's a real nice morning record, Telephone. Like it's just stick it on first thing in the morning and put you in like a, you know, because you don't want too positive and you don't want too negative first thing in the morning. It's just kind of like you want soothing. It gets you through, you know?
yeah
She's got that lovely tone as well,
and the instrumental say with it.
She's got
album. She actually played, such a beautiful album. It's amazing. I love that album.
She actually did play Coachella as well.
Speaking of white people.
I think I love that you use the word friendly to describe it. It is it's such a welcoming sound. It's like there's nothing,
the whole album sounds like that.
It's like a hug. It's really it's somewhere between poetry and hip-hop, and I mean not that those things are mutually exclusive, but and again, not a big kind of drum record, not a massive like the beats are important, but they're important in their subtlety. Kind of freedom she has around that. So I can definitely see why you've chosen her in terms of her style. And you can even hear in that clip there that like she gets, like she often sits comfortably in this space between singing and rapping as well. And so she can kind of like manage to like talk melodically, which is really cool. And I'm always like really struck by that, how she manages to do that.
That was a big lesson for me when I started to listen to her, because I was really just learning how to rap when I first heard of No Name. And it just kind of struck a chord with me, because I was like, oh, I don't know, I like that mix of talking and half singing kind of thing, and also just saying what's on your mind rather than like having some big overarching theme of like, and she can jump from one thing to the other very, very easily, which I like as well.
And this is kind of like her style is kind of like a little bit in the same tone as Chance, but except for I can actually stand to listen to Chance. I can't stand to listen to Chance anymore.
Yeah, me neither. And I used to be very into Chance. And
he loves his wife, guys.
He really loves his wife. Chance used to be, would probably be a big influence, because they're both from Chicago as well, early days. And
I think she cites him as like a massive influence.
Do we think that meme ruined him a bit? Like, I mean, kind of
100%.
Well, the album fucked. The album ruined him. The Big Day ruined him a little bit, and then also his reaction to that album really ruined him as well. You know, but he's come back a few times. He had a song with Joey Badass called "The Highs and the Lows" that was really good. And I think he will go away now. And well, he's been away for a few years, but I think he's going to come back with something with a vengeance. I would say he's that.
He has that level of ego
where he wouldn't ever be able to like take it as a loss and just leave music. Yeah. He will come back for sure.
I think he was also there was a while where he was like kind of maybe like looking after Kanye a little bit, and there was also a lot going on there, and I'd love to see him come back because I think he's so
just
talented.
Release a mixtape. That's all he needs to do.
Yeah, album, The Big Day.
Big album was the problem, I think, as well.
Yes,
that was just one of the most disappointing.
Yeah,
he would have always have Ultralight Beam though, at least.
Yeah, exactly. He would have wrote a lot. I would say him and Cudi probably wrote fucking half Kanye songs. probably gave all his verses to him.
Okay, we have one more track from
Get Your Ears Ready,
and this is what I was expecting more of this kind of vibe originally. So I'm glad to see it.
It's been all me so far.
Yeah, this is The Machinist by Have Heart. Let's go. All right, Nilo, tell us now, why this one? Why this track? Because I think you like heavy music. I know you've played heavy music before.
Yeah, so that band, Have Heart, is a band that were around in Boston in the early 2000s, and they just kind of like the melodic hardcore genre, they just did it the best out of anybody. Oftentimes, that style of music, the lyrics aren't very good, but you probably couldn't make them out there. But if you go back to the lyrics of that album, like, they're so fucking amazing. And that song just hit me at a time where I was like working in an insurance company out in Blanche, like hating my life. And the song is basically all about, like, you know, corporations treating human beings like machines. And it's kind of like a protest song in that way, you know. So it spoke to me when I was like early 20s. I was like, yeah, fuck this. I'm going to move. So I moved to Vancouver based on pretty much that album. So that's why I kind of... And I also wanted to just expose you to some mad shit from that you probably never listened to before from the early 2000s in Boston.
I remember when I worked in when I worked in a call center. That was when I got really into Rage Against the Machine. So I can empathize with the vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I remember just like there was like one lyric website I used to be able to access from the work computer, and I would just like obsessively read over the lyrics of the album over and over again. Just be like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you gotta go to Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, because the last Boston band I listened to was me reviewing the Dropkick Murphys new album last week. So this was nice. Ooh, this was refreshing.
Actually, I went to see them in the Tree Arena recently because the Scratch were supporting.
Right, and, I'd say
I
it was good
enjoyed
crack.
Them. Yeah, it was good fun. Like, yeah. They're obviously not writing the songs that they, you know, once wrote, but like...
Yeah, well, it's all Woody Guthrie, like, cutting room stuff now. It's all his lyrics now, which is good, but yeah.
They were really good. They're like a well-oiled machine, like live. Jesus Christ, I was like, this is insane. Yeah, I think they're a bit confused about where they're from, but like, you know, that's Irish Americans in general. Like, yeah, no offense. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Closest I get to this kind of stuff really for me is like the, because I love the Beastie Boys, is their kind of punky album, Aglio Olio, all stuff. I loved all that kind of stuff, but I've never really gone any deeper than that, like on anything like that. So,
well, I think Beastie Boys would have been considered a hardcore punk band in their first records.
I mean, they definitely were. Yeah, And then they did that other Aglio Di Olio 95. Mm. Kind of just a 8-track collection of stuff. I love listening to the live stuff as well. Mm. But they were great. So what about other Irish music? Anything doing it for you at the moment?
Trying to think what's really doing for me in Ireland. I like Abby Coulibaly. I think she's fucking unbelievable.
She's
going to be a gigantic. Obviously, always love Saint Sister. I think Morgana's working on some solo stuff that I've heard.
Yeah,
a
so
lot
she's
of,
obviously on the new single with you as well. So.
Yeah, so I listened to a lot of her music, mostly just because we send stuff back and forth like religiously to each other, being like, is this any good? Yeah. And we're like, yes, it's amazing. It's the best song I've ever heard. Yeah, that's about it. Like, I'm trying to think, is there anybody really, you know, when you get asked these questions, you want to like talk about everybody, but I can't think of anybody too much right now. That's what about okay. you guys?
Well, I went to see Gurriers last week. Mm. Thought they were really good.
Where was that?
It was in Great Escape, actually. So I hadn't seen them in Ireland at all. Okay. I just caught the last tune. Thought they were great. Brick Nasty, absolutely amazing
class,
band.
Bro, Brick Nasty, fucking unbelievable, man. I've seen them like a few festivals last year. I've seen them loads of times now, but like every time I've seen them, like these are masters.
The
drummer is
and
crazy.
Better. Yeah, he's so good. It was a good time because it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were like, it was daytime and everyone was very chill. And it was like, oh, I just watched these lads play for hours.
I haven't seen them.
And I think the recorded stuff as well, you're not 100% sure what's going on. When you see them live, you're like, whoa, these lads can play. They can really play.
Yeah.
Like, super impressive. So I thought in the last week anyway, there's two that I saw that were really exciting for me. Mm. What about you, Andrea? Anything bubbling up for you?
I haven't been going to any gigs. Have I? No. I've just been rinsing the Alvaretti album since it came out.
Oh, daddy.
I'm just all over it. It's just so good. That's probably it, really. I'm not listening to as much music as I would like to these days.
Are you guys going to Mango Mathman last show this weekend, by any chance?
I'm at a wedding.
Oh, fuck. You're officiating a wedding, aren't you?
Yeah. That's my first time.
How did I know that, bro?
I don't know. How do you know that? How do you know that? Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't. I was talking to some people last week and they were telling me that they're going to a wedding that you're doing there.
Who would that be? Peter?
Tim was the guy's name, and Anna. But Tim. I'm not sure if they know you or they're just going to the wedding and you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Okay, I don't know. I didn't know people knew I was doing it. That's
even scarier. There's been posters everywhere, Niall. Have you not seen them?
Yeah, it's been advertised. They're charging into this.
Yeah,
well.
I heard it on the radio. Like,
well, if it's your wedding, congratulations.
We'll see if I'm here next
congrats,
week.
Congrats, guys.
It'll all be good. Yeah. Nilo, right, great guys. To chat to you finally on the podcast.
Yeah,
and, thanks
as
so
said
much.
Before, you're playing the Hennessy Hip Hop House.
Yeah, let's go. Looking forward to it.
Later this summer in the June, Salsa this weekend. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's
we'll chat to you again soon. We'll hear some new music from you soon. All right,
peace and love.
You go and do your thing.
See you
all
soon.
Right.
Bye-bye. Take care. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Bye. I sell my family short, but I'm strong in public. And I die for you if you're from Dublin. My opinion doesn't have to be gospel. But every young person's only 3 poor decisions away from a hostel. They'll sell your family short and they'll starve you in public. Would you die for me if you're from Dublin? I got an angel on my shoulder. The devil sent a postcard. I was searching for meaning in the middle of a snowstorm. I was listening to Seasons in the Abyss before the concert. Maybe looking for reasons to exist among the monsters. I got an angel on my shoulder. The devil sent a postcard. I was searching for meaning in the middle of a snowstorm. I was listening to Seasons in the Abyss before the concert. Maybe looking for reasons to exist among the monsters.
I wasn't happy day to day. Like, I was going in a suit, nearly sweating, of course, you know, in the summertime, and just thinking about everybody that's off playing music at festivals and like. I'm on the bus
on the way home. Okay, thanks to Nilo for the chat. Lovely to hear his song choices. Lots of variation in there and some really nice stuff. You can catch him at Body and Soul Festival this June at the Hennessy Hip Hop House. So do have a look at that. Andrea, that's it from us this week, I think. I think we worked ourselves into a lot of music there and talked about a lot of
topics. This was a long episode. So
a good old, thanks, everyone. A good old, chat and chinwag we had. So that was great. Great to have Nilo. But yeah, anything else you'd like to add?
No, we'll be back next week. It's currently sunny, so I hope wherever you are, you're getting a bit of vitamin D.
Yeah.
Cheering up. My cat is knocking something over in the next room, so that it might be our cue.
Okay, time to investigate.
Yes.
Okay, talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.